Good morning. We will call the October 4th, 2023 meeting of the Board of Directors of the Eastern Municipal Water District to order. We always start our meetings with a Pledge of Allegiance to our flag. Nick, would you like to lead us this morning?
I'd be honored. Would you stand, face the flag, hand of your heart?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I ask the Board Secretary to read the procedures for virtual participation and then do a roll call of the Board, please?
Absolutely. To avoid creating acoustic feedback, please mute all your devices during the meeting unless you are speaking. Before speaking, please unmute your device and turn down the volume of any other devices that are near you and tuned into the meeting. If you have joined by phone and would like to comment on an item, please press star 9 to let our staff know and wait to be notified. When it is your turn to speak, you will hear a notification asking you to unmute your phone by pressing star 6. If you have joined by computer, you may use the chat feature in Zoom to indicate your desire to speak. When done speaking, please mute your device again. And please participate from a quiet environment so that the Board can hear you when you are speaking. And now we will do roll call. President Pauly?
Present.
Director Corona?
Here.
Director Slauson?
Here.
Our legal counsel is here. And just to note, Directors Armstrong and Record are absent.
Very good. Thank you for that. Item 1 on our agenda is public comment. April, do we have anybody indicating they want to do a comment before the Board that is an item not on the agenda this morning?
No, we do not.
Very good. We'll move on to item 2, which is this morning some recognitions of our college interns. So the floor is yours.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. President, members of the Board. I'm going to take the time to introduce you to a few of our college interns who have worked with us over the duration of the summer and recognize them for their efforts this summer. So first, I would like to start with Andrew Razouk, who has been interning in our finance department. Andrew is a student at the University of Luverne. He's currently pursuing his bachelor's in business administration with a concentration in finance. He will be graduating in the spring of 2024 and has assisted the district's finance team with research, analysis, and consolidating data to gain efficiency and streamline future updates and analysis. He's also assisted with daily cash projections and forecasting future cash flows. He's enjoyed his learning and expanding his investment knowledge base and is gaining a vital understanding of how the district and other municipal government agencies invest their reserve funds. His determination, growth mindset, intelligence, and positive outlook is appreciated by Eastern Municipal Water District. So with that, I'm going to present you this certificate of completion for your internship program. Thank you so much. Next, I would like to recognize Angel Magia Zavala, who has been interning in our engineering department. Angel is attending his final year at Cal Poly Pomona, pursuing a Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering. He supported both the water and wastewater and reclamation CIP teams on a variety of projects. Some notable projects include creation of a database to track approximately 1,300 parcels within the Quail Valley sub-area 4 region, to support GIS and the district's consultant with site assessments and data gathering associated with the septic-to-sewer conversion. He also conducted an initial GIS assessment of potential non-functional turf conversion opportunities, which identified almost 50,000 square feet of turf that qualifies for the SoCal Water Smart Rebate Program, and further, he helped encourage EMWD's customers to initiate the project. Upon graduation, Angel intends to seek full-time employment in the public sector working on challenging water and reclamation projects. Congratulations, Angel. And next, I would like to bring up Annika. Annika is a chemical engineering student at UC Riverside. She is taking coursework in environmental engineering as well. She'll graduate in 2024 with her bachelor's degree in chemical engineering. She has provided project support in a number of areas and initiative, far too long to list, and has participated in the completion of several standards updates and process improvements. Congratulations, Annika. And And our intern in information systems is unfortunately not here today, but I will give you a quick update on what Armando worked on while he was here. He is going to graduate in 2024 from Cal State San Bernardino, where he's majoring in information systems and technology, cybersecurity in his concentration. He's worked on imaging and replacing older PC models with newer ones. He's learned how to develop and deploy applications used on the new PCs to replace their current ones, and has worked on the transfer and backup of files to those new PCs. And then I would like to call up Carlos Palazuelos. Carlos is also in our engineering services department. He's a business administration information systems student, minoring in global climate changes studies at UC Riverside. He's worked on using GIS applications to check the quality and accuracy of data entered into our utility network, and is comparing that data to engineering drawings. He's also entered customer information into service order and meter points inside our various product lines, assisted GIS technicians with a wide range of GIS-related tasks, including mapping of facilities and CIP projects, and he's also tracked down, scanned, and printed maps, drawings, and other records from the vaults. Congratulations. And last but certainly not least, Tejas Patel, who is in our finance department. He is planning on graduating from Cal State Poly Pomona in October of 2023. Congratulations. And with his Bachelor of Science in Economics. He has worked on several aspects of accounting with our finance project accounting team. He's worked on several project closures, including service connection installs, fire flow, design conditions, recycled water, plan check, accelerated retrofit, and reports and studies. He's also processed work in progress transfers, moving all costs from a work order to a construction order, and assisted our fiscal year-end audit, pulling information and analyzing key data. He's been extremely helpful in assisting the project accounting group on meeting our monthly and fiscal year-end deadlines, and his future goals are to obtain a position as an accountant and complete his CPA license. Congratulations. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Jennifer, can we get a picture yes. with the board president?
You guys would all like to come up so we can get a picture, please?
So thank you for that great presentation. It is very important that we have an intern program here. We actually, if I'm not mistaken, have a couple people in management here who started as interns. So hopefully we will see some of you back here in the future, because EMWD is always looking for really motivated, smart people, and appreciate you doing some service here. With that, we're going to go on to our executive reports. We'll start with Mr. Mawad.
Good morning, President Pauly, members of the board. My report is included in your packet under new and ongoing items. As you're all aware, we had a very successful State of the District event last week. I want to thank President Pauly and members of the board for participating in that event. We had over 130 stakeholders join us to review not only our accomplishments, but also be able to share EMWD's long-standing culture of safety and workforce excellence and how that's contributed to our ability to serve the community. Not only did we review the accomplishments, but we also provided an outlook and a preview of initiatives that are currently ongoing and that we plan to complete in the near future. It was a wonderful event, and there were representatives from the County of Riverside, from the cities that we serve, as well as our neighboring water agencies. Our next State of the District event will be on our 75th anniversary. So I know We're all very busy, so I wanted to give you ample notice. October of 2025 is our scheduled next State of the District that will coincide with our 75th anniversary.
I took notes. It's the 16th, I believe.
Yes, all yes. Right. That's correct.
It is on my calendar.
Babe. Next, I wanted to share with the board, as you're aware, in July, Mr. Jerry Brown, the executive director of the Sites Project Authority, presented details about the project to the board. And as a follow-up to that, and based on conversations we've had, we believe there's an opportunity to submit a request to be on the wait list for the project. And as you're aware, currently the storage capacity at the proposed Sites Project is fully subscribed, but there is that opportunity that we can get on the wait list. There is no financial commitment to be on the wait list, but ultimately if there is an opportunity to transition from the wait list to a project participant, obviously there would have to be financial terms and conditions negotiated. At that time, we would obviously engage in further conversations with the board. But with the opportunity to submit a request to be on the wait list, I know Nick and Linnea and others have been engaged with Mr. Brown. We are planning to bring forward a letter to the board for their consideration at the next board meeting. And with your potential approval of that, we would move forward and request to be placed on that wait list. So more to come on that item at the next board meeting. Next, I wanted to share with you, I know you're very familiar with our commitment to safety and our culture of safety. And a part of that culture is our Cal-OSHA CalSTAR certification. And it's that time every 3 years the Cal-OSHA team comes to our site with, frankly, a team of experts. And they do a review of our practices, our protocols, our safety requirements. It's a very thorough review that occurs, and they are scheduled to start that process next Monday, and that will continue till Friday, October 13th. So we are anticipating that they will be visiting our remote sites, our construction sites. They will be meeting with a broad range of team members from EMWD. And ultimately, there will be a report that will be generated to EMWD within 30 days of conclusion of that inspection. And we have then 3 months to address the recommendations outlined in the report. So we're looking forward to it. Frankly, it's a very important part of our commitment to safety at EMWD, and the team has been coordinating very closely with Cal-OSHA to make sure the site visit and audit goes well. Next, I wanted to highlight a couple items under interest to the board, and the first item is our strategic priorities progress report. Included under the recent receive and file, and I believe you should have in front of you a hard copy of the report that we finalized. You may recall this was presented to the board a few weeks back as a draft, a preliminary report based on feedback we received from the board. We've made some edits to the report. We've made some minor changes. But ultimately, we believe this is an important report that highlights EMWD's commitment to our customers when it comes to accountability, governance, and environmental sustainability. I think it's important for us when we go up to Sacramento, when we go back to Washington, D.C., to promote and highlight our investments to make sure we are providing reliable and sustainable water service to our customers in an environmentally responsible manner. So take a look at it. I hope you enjoy the information that was put together, and I do appreciate the feedback that we received from the board members when we did provide the initial preliminary draft. Finally, I wanted to mention that the Southern California Water Coalition has released its latest episode of What Matters Water TV and podcast, and I'm fortunate enough to be part of that podcast myself, along with my fellow general managers from Las Virgenes, as well as San Diego County Water Authority and the South Coast Water District. The focus of the podcast is desalinization, both ocean desalinization as well as brackish groundwater desalinization. I had the opportunity to highlight our experience over the last 2 decades with brackish desalinization, as well as our ongoing discussions and interest in participating in the Doheny Ocean Desal Plant. It was a really good episode. It's about an hour long, so if you do have the time, please check it out. I think you'll find it very informative and very interesting.
Joe, with that, I had the opportunity to listen to it on my commute home a couple days ago. I thought you did an excellent job.
Oh, thank you, President Pauly. Thank you. With that, I'd be happy to answer any other questions the board may have.
No questions.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Laura, do you have anything for us this morning?
Nothing this morning.
Nick?
Nothing.
Matt?
Nothing this morning.
All right. We will go on to the consent calendar. Do I have any members of the board that want to pull an item for a separate vote or separate discussion? I have one. I don't need a separate vote on this, but I would like Joe to give on item F a little update as we adjourned the meeting today in memory of Senator Feinstein and all that she had done for this district over the years.
Thank you, President Pauly. We were all saddened last week when we learned of the passing of Senator Dianne Feinstein. As we're all aware, Senator Feinstein was a trailblazer when it comes to representing our great state in Washington, D.C. She served in the Senate for over 30 years. Prior to that, she was mayor of San Francisco. And frankly, it's not only her service to our great state, but it's also her dedication to the water community. She was very much a partner when it came to partnering with not only Eastern, but frankly, the entire water community in advancing funding and legislation and common sense policies at the federal level. Senator Feinstein was also a recipient of Eastern Municipal Water District Water Champion Award in 2019. And we were just very, very honored to have her as our partner over the years and decades. And we wanted to take the time today to, as President Pauly mentioned, adjourn today's meeting in honor of her service, in honor of her commitment to the water industry. I will also note that this past Monday, President Pauly did send a letter to the chair of Metropolitan Water District recommending that Metropolitan consider renaming the California the Colorado River Aqueduct as the Dianne Feinstein Aqueduct in honor of her service to Southern California and the desert communities. Frankly, you know, we believe that's an appropriate tribute to her service. The California Aqueduct, named after Governor Brown, with a potential renaming of the Colorado River Aqueduct, I think that would be an incredible tribute to the two icons in the water industry in the state. With that, again, I just wanted to emphasize our appreciation, not only to Senator Feinstein, but frankly her staff back in D.C., that we work very successfully on various legislation. With that, I'd be happy to answer any question the board may have.
No questions? So I'll look for a motion in a second. So we can make a motion by Director Slauson, second by Director Corona. Make it a roll call vote on the consent calendar, please.
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona? Director Slauson?
Aye.
That passes 3-0. Director Record and Director Armstrong absent. And again, thank you, Joe, for that update on the memorial for Senator Feinstein. With that, we will go on to item 5, our action calendar. Item A is to approve and authorize award of contract with J.R. Philnett Construction Company Incorporated, $14.5 million under specification 1465W, Marietta Road Booster Station, and additional appropriation in the amount of $19 million. Good morning.
Good morning, President Pauly and members of the board. My name is Sam Valdez, senior engineer, here to present staff's recommendation for award of construction contract for the Murrieta Road Booster Station. Before I begin, I would like to recognize quite a few guests that we have with us here today. First with VLANCE, we have Bob Zeiser and Tony Ruiz.
Thank you for being here today. Appreciate it.
From Black & Veatch Engineer of Record, we have Dave Cover and Rika Evans.
Thank you for being here.
And with CAPO, we have Alex Garibay.
Thank you, sir, for being here today.
Thank you all for being here. With that, we'll begin with some background on the project. The project is located in the city of Paris along Murrieta Road, just a few miles from district headquarters. The existing Murrieta Booster Station plays an important role in water supply reliability in that it provides water supply transfer capacity within the district's baseline 1627 Paris Valley pressure zone, which is especially important during high demand periods and potential supply outages. It's also unique in that it has the ability to transfer water in two different directions, from Paris Valley North to Paris Valley South and vice versa. As you can see in the photos on the right, the existing station is partially below grade with natural gas engine-driven pumps, which presents safety, maintenance, and operational challenges. And the facility is nearing the end of its useful life. For these reasons, the facility has been prioritized for replacement. This map shows the locations of the existing and proposed sites, as shown in red. The site for the new facility was secured as part of a land swap agreement and will be located adjacent to a future residential development. The major project components include a new 10,000 gallon per minute booster station with emergency generator located within a block building, enhanced controls and telemetry, site improvements including raising existing grade above the floodplain elevation, and in addition, the project will include the demolition of the existing station once the new station is commissioned. Due to the magnitude and complexity of the project, staff issued a request for qualifications in September of 2022, and five general contractors were pre-qualified. On June 27th of this year, the project was advertised for construction, and on August 15th, two bids were received. The low bid was J.R. Phelan's Construction Company in the amount of approximately $14.6 million, which is approximately 3.5% below the engineer's estimate of $15.1 million. Phelan's has previously successfully completed a variety of projects for the district over the years. To support the project through construction, staff negotiated a scope and fee with Black & Veatch, the engineer of record, to provide engineering services during construction. Their scope of work includes typical services, including project management, meetings and field visits, submittal reviews, design clarifications, as well as a preparation of record drawings and electronic O&M manuals. In addition, we look to contract with the firms as listed here for additional support services, including construction management, geotechnical observation and testing, control survey, and environmental monitoring. Should we receive the board's approval, we look to begin construction this month, and we look to complete our first milestone, which would be the commissioning of the new station in August of 2025. And we look to complete all work, including the demolition of the existing station, by December 2025. So with that, staff's recommendations are as follows. Award of contract with J.R. Phelan's Construction Company for construction of the Murrieta Road Booster Station in the amount of approximately $14.6 million. Award of contracts for the following support services. Capo for $621,000. Black & Veatch for approximately $592,000, Converse Consultants for approximately $332,000, Cozad and Fox for approximately $20,000, and LSA Associates for approximately $75,000. In addition, an administrative award of ancillary contracts necessary to complete the work, and additional appropriation of approximately $19.6 million, which brings the total estimated project cost to approximately $21.8 million. And that concludes the presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
We discussed this in committee, and I have no further questions.
Good. I had a quick one. So this is going in a proposed residential neighborhood, and if, I think I saw the picture of the facade of the thing that the station is going to reflect a design that would fit into a residential neighborhood.
Correct. Yeah, we took inspiration from the surrounding development, kind of combining that with district standard building layout and materials to minimize the impact to the community.
I just appreciate that we do that.
I'll move staff's recommendation.
Moved by Director Corona, second by Director Slauson. Get a roll call vote, please.
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
That passes 3-0 with Director Record and Director Armstrong absent. Thank you. Great presentation. Appreciate it, and I appreciate our guests being here this morning. We will go on to item B, which is to approve and transfer of funds, $1.6 million, to the United States Army Corps of Engineers for the design and construction of the South Paris Water Supply Desalination Program, an additional appropriation of $1.6 million. Good morning.
Morning, President Pauly, members of the board. My name is Christopher Carey. I'm a senior engineer in the engineering department, and I'll be providing a verbal presentation for this item. And before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge that we have a virtual guest with us today from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, specifically Ms. Patricia Kimura and Huma Nassar, the project manager and technical manager, respectively, with the L.A. District.
Very good. Thank you for joining us virtually this morning. Appreciate it very much.
All right. By way of background, the South Paris Water Supply Desalination Program was authorized by Section 219 of the Water Resources Development Act for federal funding participation through the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. The purpose of the South Paris Program is to expand the district's brackish groundwater desalination program in partnership with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. The district and the Corps continue to partner to incrementally advance program components. Under the program, the district is required to contribute a 25% share of total project costs, and these contributions are made through periodic wire transfers upon request from the Corps. And approximately $4.5 million of federal funding was recently appropriated as part of the Corps' fiscal year 2023 work plan. And the Corps requested wire transfer of the district's associated contribution. In order to maintain the overall program cost share balance, a wire transfer of approximately $1.6 million is required at this time. And this amount, in combination with past federal appropriations, will be used to advance the construction of the Valley Boulevard Brackish Water Transmission Pipeline project, which will expand the capacity of the district's brackish water conveyance system. A recommendation today is to approve and authorize the transfer of funds to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in the amount of approximately $1.6 million and appropriation of the same amount. And this concludes my presentation today, and I'd be happy to entertain any questions at this time.
Questions? I'd like to move the item.
I would definitely move the item.
Second. Moved by Director Slauson, second by Director Corona. A roll call vote, please.
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
3-0 with Director Records and Armstrong absent. And again, thank you to our guests for being here, and always appreciate the great relationship we have with the U.S. Army Corps. So thank you. Look forward to moving this project along. Thank you for a great presentation. Item C is to approve and authorize award a contract to SKR Engineering for $3.7 million under specification 1491W for construction of the Ridgemore Road Pipeline Project, an interagency agreement with the City of Menifee for pavement restoration and appropriation in the amount of $4.8 million. Mr. Kowalski.
Good morning, President Pauly, fellow members of the board. I'm happy to be here today to present our Ridgemore Road Project. And before I get started, I'd like to introduce our guests. Our general contractor, SRK Engineering, we have a representative, Sherry Kirkpatrick.
Thank you for being here this morning.
Okay, moving on to the background. The project's located in the city of Menifee, located along Ridgemar Road from Marietta Road to Indus Street, which is quite close to our Ridgemar Booster Station. The purpose of the project is to replace the existing 12-inch diameter steel pipeline. The project will correct the pipeline that has a history of leaks that was constructed in the 1960s. We'll put in a new resilient PVC pipeline in its place. During the advancement of the project, we've developed partnerships with the City of Menifee, the school district, and the developer. By way of summary of bids, we advertised bids in late July and received 4 bids on the project, and SRK Engineering was the lowest responsive and responsible bidder with a bid of $3.7 million, which was just above the engineer's estimate for the project, which we believe is a good bid. And SRK Engineering has been awarded projects with Eastern in the recent past. In addition to our construction contract today, we look to advance support services with various consultants, engineering services, geotechnical testing and observation, as well as construction, survey, and staking for the pipeline. As well, we look to advance an interagency agreement with the City of Menifee for the final road paving and improvements. This will provide a great end product for the community, a complete paved road versus just paving the trench sections that we're responsible for, provides good efficiency and economies to scale and addresses those community impacts. By way of schedule, if approved today, we look to move forward with the project here in October and complete in just under a year's time. So with that, our recommendation today is to advance a construction contract with SRK Engineering in the amount of approximately $3.7 million. To advance an interagency agreement with the City of Menifee for the road repair, subject to non-substantive changes. And 3, advance various support contracts, one with Ardura for engineering support services in the amount of approximately $91,000, 2 with Engine Corporation for the geotechnical observation and testing for approximately $65,000. 3, a contract with K&A Engineering for the construction staking in the amount of approximately $15,000. We also look to advance administrative award of other ancillary contracts to complete this project, and our request today is additional appropriation of approximately $4.8 million, taking the total project cost today to $5.6 million. With that, I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
Any questions? Yeah, I don't have any questions, but I just want to comment that I really appreciate when we work with cities. They're the same constituents as our ratepayers, and virtually no cost to us to do this jointly, this repaving effort. And with the economy of scale, it's the city's saving money, which means the residents are saving money. So I just really think it's valuable that we're dealing with cities. And it's a little more work for you, but in the long run, not really, not costly.
We agree, Director Slauson, and we do this at every opportunity we can, not only with the city of Menifee, with City of Moreno Valley and other cities that are very much interested in improving the surface pavement along right-of-way that we are going to construct it. Absolutely.
I'd like to move the item.
I will move the item.
Second by Director Corona. Get a roll call
Thank
vote,
you.
Please.
President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Passes 3-0 with Director Corona, Director Record and Director Armstrong absent. Thank you for the presentation. On to item D, approve and authorize acquisition of easements and fee title acquisition of a portion of APN 331-250-019 for the South Paris Water Supply Desalination Program for an appropriation of $625,000. Mr. Teague.
Good morning, President Pauley, members of the board. I am Chris Teague, District's Real Property Manager, and here today to recommend purchase of property in support of the South Paris Water Supply Desalination Program. The South Paris Water Supply Desalination Program was authorized by Section 219 of the Water Resources Development Act for federal funding participation through the United States Army Corps of Engineers. The purpose of the program is to expand the district's brackish groundwater program. It's expected that an additional 6,000 acre feet per year will be produced with the anticipated 6 new groundwater extraction wells. The proposed acquisition is the first within phase 2 of the program, and the exhibit on the right-hand side of the screen shows existing groundwater production wells and conveyance system from phase 1 of the program. This brings brackish water to the district's desalination complex. In addition to providing more wells, phase 2 will add pipelines and drive the expansion of Paris 2 to Salter. Phase 2 is defined, the phase 2 program area is defined by the black dashed dotted line, and we'll look at that area in more detail on the next slide. So as we zoom into phase 2 program area, you can see that it covers northeastern Menifee from Cherry Hills Boulevard west of I-215 on the bottom left-hand corner to Briggs and Watson Road on the top left. While the entire program area appears to be rather large, there are 4 discrete sub-areas identified by AECOM in their well siting analysis, which are much more narrowly focused. We'll explore the sub-area 1 in more detail in the next slide. So as mentioned, our partnership with U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, EMWD is responsible for acquiring real property interest for the program, and our contribution of the non-federal matching share is 25% and includes land purchases. So U.S. Army Corps of Engineers will cover the remaining 75% of total project costs. As mentioned on the previous slide, Area 1 outlined in the thick black border on screen is relatively small. Program Area 1 is overlaid on the City of Menifee General Plan land use map. Most of the land in this area falls under business park or specific plan designations. In speaking with real estate brokers and property owners within Program Area 1, most of the land is earmarked for development. So identifying willing sellers is one of the challenges that real property staff face in acquiring property around the more densely populated or developing areas like Menifee. Obviously, it's helpful to acquire property from a willing seller, like we have in this specific instance, to advance important water supply projects like the South Paris Desalination Program. The proposed parcel is zoned high-density residential, which provided EMWD with the opportunity to acquire land at a lower dollar per square foot cost than what we might have paid for lands in business park designated areas. So with the program overview covered, we can address some of the specifics of this subject property acquisition. The exhibit on screen shows I-215 on the left or west side and a portion of Highway 74 on the top or northern boundary of the image. Staff propose acquiring portions of 2 parcels identified in the black outline at the bottom right-hand section of the screen. Both parcels are west of Menifee Road and south of McLaughlin Road. The proposed acquisition is 0.98 acres of APN 331-250-019 for the well site, and the other is 0.55 acre easement, which is the long, narrow strip crossing the aforementioned APN as well as APN 331-250-019. And this ultimately leads to the well site so that our staff and consultants contractors can access the well site from Menifee Road. Stephen G. White, one of the district's as-needed appraisers, valued the subject property at $8 per square foot. This valuation was based on comparable sales, with the majority of those properties in a 2-mile radius of the subject property. The map on the left identifies five of the residential zoned sales comparables used, and as shown within the table on the right, the values of those properties range from roughly $6.50 per square foot to close to $12.50 per square foot. Three of the four sales transacted within the 8 months prior to the December 2022 appraisal completion date. So the property acquisition, the property's owned by Valle del Sol Energy, LLC. It's a Delaware-based company and owns both of those parcels. Valle del Sol is a subsidiary of NRG Energy, which is a large Fortune 500 company. Using the appraised value of $8 a square foot, the fee title acquisition of 0.98 acres comes to $341,600, and the permanent and temporary construction easements come to $204,800 for a grand total of $546,400. Valle del Sol accepted EMWD's offer at the appraised value, and when you factor in U.S. Army Corps' 75% contribution, the district's effective cost to acquire this property is less than $140,000. Of note, there are terms and conditions in the purchase and sale agreement that provide for an extended due diligence period, which will allow the district to confirm site-specific quantity and quality of groundwater yield before closing escrow. The seller will receive a $25,000 earnest money deposit for the long due diligence period, and that deposit will be applied to the purchase price, assuming the site meets our parameters. If the site does not meet program requirements, the district can terminate the agreement, and the seller would retain the $25,000 earnest money deposit. So with that, staff recommend that the board approve and authorize the acquisition of property and easement in the amount of $546,400, execution of the purchase and sale agreement, as well as any actions necessary to carry out the purchase, and finally, an appropriation in the amount of $625,000 to fund the subject property acquisition. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that the board may have.
Just Lawson.
Just a comment. We discussed this in committee, and subsequent to that, Director Ruckert and I received copies of the appraisal, and despite the appearance of being open farmland, it's has a high-density residential zoning, so the price seemed appropriate. He agreed to that, too.
Right. Moved by Director Corona, second by Director Slauson. Make it a roll call vote, please.
President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Passes 3-0 with Directors Record and Director Armstrong absent. Chris, thank you for a great presentation. Appreciate it very much. That will take us to item 6 in our agenda this morning, which are informational items. And we are going to have a presentation on the Hemet San Jacinto Groundwater Basin Safe Yield. Good morning.
Good morning, President Pauley, members of the board. I wanted to take a brief moment to introduce the presenter this morning and the purpose of this presentation. Mr. Behrouz Mortazavi will be presenting on the topic of safe yield. Mr. Mortazavi serves as the Water Master Advisor and has served in this role since its inception in 2013. Prior to this, Mr. Mortazavi was heavily involved in the groundwater programs while working for Eastern Municipal Water District, with his last position at the district serving as Assistant General Manager. Mr. Mortazavi is presenting this item today at the request of President Pauley. As you're aware, President Pauley also serves on the Water Master Board. The purpose of this presentation is to provide Eastern's board members an update on the basin's safe yield evaluation. This evaluation has been ongoing for more than a year. The results of the safe yield evaluation have led the Water Master Advisor to propose a recommendation for adjusting the base production rates of the four public agencies serving groundwater in the adjudicated area. This recommendation will be brought forth by Mr. Mortizotti at the upcoming November Water Master Board meeting. The presentation today summarizes the safe yield evaluation as well as the forthcoming recommendation to the Water Master Board meeting in November. With that background and introduction, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Mr. Mortizotti.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome, Dr. Mortizotti.
Good morning, President Pauly, members of the board. I'm happy to be here. I haven't been here for a long time. This presentation, as Laura mentioned.
I'm the water master.
Yes.
But in the capacity of addressing the board, it has been a while, and we welcome you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Pauly, who is also my boss at the water master, has requested this presentation, and as Laura mentioned, it is focused on the safe yield and the impact of the updated safe yield to the local agencies. Before I do that, does it click? Yes. Okay. There, I want to cover four specific items regarding the Water Master. One is a background on the Water Master, why Water Master is there and its role, and discuss the safe yield and overdraft. What is it and how do they all come together, and updated numbers related to the safe yield and the adjusted base production estimates that I will discuss shortly. Basically, the Water Master area is in the Hemet-San Jacinto area. This is mostly your Division 3 that Mr. Record is representing, and Mr. Pauly has been very involved representing Eastern on the board of the Water Master. It's about one-fifth of your jurisdiction. Water Master background. The Saboba settlement, when it was negotiated, it required development of a water management plan to basically manage the groundwater basins in the Hemet-San Jacinto Valley. In order to develop that, Eastern was actually the lead agency that took that water management plan and received feedback from all stakeholders in the region. And the linkage between this and the Saboba settlement was that in order for that water management plan to be implemented, the Saboba tribe and the federal government both had to agree and sign off of that water management plan. In that water management plan, when Eastern received feedback from all the stakeholders said that we want this water management plan to be managed by a different organization, Water Master. And that is how Water Master was formed at the time. So in 2013, a stipulated judgment was entered in the Supreme Court of the state, and the water management plan was adopted, and the Water Master started operation. The governing board, it has five board members in the alphabetic order: City of Hemet, City of San Jacinto, Eastern, Lake Hemet, and the private producers. We have a selected member of the landowners representing the private producers. Ms. Krupa from Hemet is the chairperson of the Water Master currently. City of San Jacinto is represented by Councilman Hawkins. President Pauly plays a major role as a secretary and treasurer of the Water Master. Mr. Pastor represents Lake Hemet and is the vice chair of the Water Master. And private producers is represented by Mr. Bruce Scott. The Water Master meets about four times a year. We meet in your boardroom here every 3 months, and our meetings are usually the fourth Monday of February, May, August, and November. what is safe yield and overdraft, which is as it's defined in the judgment. The judgment defines a safe yield as the long-term average quantity of water supply in the management area. In a briefing, it's basically the amount of water that the groundwater basins can provide on the long-term average basis. And initially, it was set at 45,000 acre-feet per year. At the time, it was also recognized that there is an overdraft. In other words, the actual production of the basin was 10,000 acre-feet over that amount. So the average production at the time that the judgment was negotiated and it was put in place, it was recognized that there was about 55,000 acre-feet of production in the basin. So these numbers were important at the time. And also, the parties have committed to avoid overdraft. That's the main role of the water master, to determine what the safe yield is and to make sure that the production in the valley is about the safe yield of the basin. Of course, you know, in dry years, the production goes up. In wet years, the production goes down. So it varies from year to year. But on long-term average, it's expected to meet the safe yield requirements. Water master also sets the water rights, also known as base production rights, for the public agencies. And the base production rights of each one is adjusted on a pro rata basis to a level consistent with the safe yield. The way the judgment is written, there are about 27, 28 of these judgments in the state of California, and each one of them is unique. And some of them define everybody's rights, including the overlying landowners and the farmers. Some of them don't. This particular judgment does not define the overlying rights, and it relies on the state water rights when it comes to the overlying landowners. And the burden of meeting the safe yield is actually relied on the public agencies. So the past action, when the judgment defined the safe yield to be 45,000, it also defined what the base production right was for the public agencies. And it said it's about 32,000. So 32,000 of that 45,000 went to the public agencies, which included Eastern, Lake Hemet, and the two cities, City of Hemet and San Jacinto. And the remaining balance between 32,000 and 45,000 went to the private producers, basically. So in the 6 years following the formation of the Water Master, from 2014 to 2019, the base production rights were adjusted 5 times, and it was reduced by 10,000 acre-feet, that was the overdraft. So now it is set at about 22,000 acre-feet. Out of that, so there was about 31% of production reduction by the public agencies at the time. Eastern's share of that 22,000 is about 7,300 acre-feet. So these were the actions that the Water Master has taken since then. So the Water Master is obligated to check the safe yield number periodically. And we commissioned Woodard and Curran as our consultants to do groundwater modeling work for the basin. And they came back to tell us if that 45,000 safe yield is still valid, because it varies with the weather conditions, with the climate conditions, with the water demand conditions. All those numbers play a role in that number. So they came back and they said, you know, if you look in the period of 84 to 2020, the average yield is about 43,000. If you look at 1995 to 2020, the average yield is about 41,000. So depending on what period you choose, this safe yield number is going to be different, But what is important to note is that all these numbers are now below the 45,000 initial safe yield that was estimated. And, you know, I was actually involved in the formation of this water master as an Eastern representative. And at the time that 45,000 number was called the initial safe yield, with the recognition that that number may be a little bit on the high side than what it should actually be. So, proposed updated. My role as the staff of the Water Master and advisor, my recommendation in November to the Water Master Board, which President Pauly represents Eastern on, is to update that safe yield number from 45,000 to 42,500. And my logic is based on taking the average of these estimations from 84 to 2020 and the estimation from 95 to 2020, and that's where that number comes from. Now, once you set the safe yield, then you have to come back and say, what portion of that safe yield number belongs to the public agencies? And that is called adjusted base production rights in the judgment. So I did three different calculations based on different methodologies. And let me tell you, being a water resources engineer, there are about another 10, 20 different ways that you can calculate these numbers. But I chose these three numbers based on my understanding of the basin and based on my experience in this basin. So based on these three estimates, the estimates can vary from 20,000 to like 19,000. They're very much in the same range. Keep in mind the current adjusted base production rate is about 22,000. So the new number is going to be about 2,000 acre feet less than for the public agencies, less than what the original numbers were. So my proposed recommendation in November to the Water Master Board will be to use the higher number and update the adjusted base production rights for the public agencies to 20,300 acre feet per year. Now, this table shows the current adjusted base production rights and the updated numbers. So for Eastern in particular, I am going to ask the Water Master to adjust the 7,300 acre feet of the rights that Eastern has to about 6,800 acre feet. And that reflects moving from that 22,000 number to the 20,000 number. So with that, any questions? And also I need to mention, those numbers mean that the public agencies can produce that amount of water without any need to replenish the basin. In other words, if the public agencies pump above that 20,000 number, then they are required to replenish the basin. Keep in mind, these numbers are long-term bases. They are not on annual basis. So in any given year, Eastern may pump a lot more than that 6,800 number, but on the long-term average, it needs to be balanced off of that number.
President Pauly, if I can ask.
Absolutely.
Baruz, if we can go back to the last slide, if possible, a couple of questions just for clarity. And again, this is all going to be subject to further discussions at the Water Master Board meeting, but potentially that reduction that you are recommending does not necessarily have to occur in a singular year. There could be a phased period so that each agency can start slowly adjusting its safe yield production. Is that?
That is correct. The way Water Master operates, I basically take these recommendations to a committee called Technical Advisory Committee, which is basically the staff of Eastern, Lake Hemet, and the two cities, and I receive feedback based on their recommendation. And then I will take whatever the combined recommendation is to the Water Master Board, or if there are significant differences, then I will take both both recommendations to the Water Master Board for consideration. Absolutely. Thanks for bringing it up. Yes, that cutback or that reduction, it's about, what, 4,800 or so acre feet. That can be phased in more than 1 year, several years, depending on the feedback I receive from the technical advisory committee. I really don't have any particular recommendation on that. It needs to work for the agencies. I mean, the economics of all these activities is a factor when it comes to the Water Master and its approval of these changes.
Thank you, Bruce. And just one more point of clarity. This potential reduction in safe yield that you're recommending, if ultimately it's approved by the Water Master Board, it does not impact Eastern's purchase of carryover credits that we've acquired from the city of San Jacinto and Hemet in recent years. Can you maybe clarify that point?
That is correct. Those agreements are between the participants of the judgment, and they are totally independent of what these numbers are. I should also add that the parties have made significant financial commitment to these basins, and over the years, they each year, again, these are long-term averages, the parties, Eastern being part of it, being a major part of it, parties purchase about 7,500 acre-feet of imported water that they recharge in those basins at a cost of about, what, $7.5 million, $8 million a year. So there is a significant commitment by the public agencies in the Hemet-San Jacinto Valley to make sure that these basins are healthy and they will continue being in good operation for all the beneficiaries and stakeholders of those basins.
Very good. I appreciate you being here. Any questions from board members?
No, I was going to ask about the carryover credits and how that works. I'm glad you help clarify that. Nice seeing you, Bruce.
Nice seeing you.
It is nice. So here's what I would like to do as a member of the Water Master, and Joe, you could certainly help with this. This is one of those items, I think it's a big policy item for Eastern. I don't want to make a decision at the Water Master that's not in concurrence with the district management and the entire board. So, Joe, I'd love your recommendation on a future agenda item here before the November meeting so that we as Eastern can speak as a board on if we want to participate in this and or any recommendations that you may have.
Sure. We can definitely bring back an item, President Pauly, to our November 1st board meeting. Mm-hmm. I believe the Water Master Board, this item is scheduled on what day, Bruce?
It is the fourth Monday of November. I don't have the exact date. It's probably the 22nd or something.
And potentially, President Pauly, it could be that the way it could be framed is that the EMWD board, having listened to the presentation from the advisor, then would authorize our representative on the Water Master Board to either support or reject the recommendation.
I just think it's one of those items. I don't want to speak for the district without board concurrence, because it's a major shift in our allocation. So I want to analyze by our staff, too. With that, thank you very much for being here today. I appreciate it.
I have a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Director Corona had a question.
Yeah, I had a question. On back, you had the three participants. You had the public agencies, you had the sovereign nations, and you had the private. So when you looked at how you're going to allocate that, did you have a priority? Did you have a... I assume you had a priority that where you had sovereign nations and private pumpers as the overlying owners or whatever as the priority, and then the appropriators being the water districts as secondary. And so then looks like you made the cut on the public agencies.
That's the way the judgment is written.
Right.
The judgment recognizes in terms of water rights, there are state water rights and the federal water rights, and they're very different. And in this particular basin, the Saboba tribe has the federal water rights, which is a superior water, it's called superior water rights, when it comes to its comparison with the state water rights. So they get the first cut. So out of that, if the tribe was in a situation that had to use the full 42,000 acre feet, there would not be any water remaining for the farming community or the public agencies to pump. So they get the first cut. The second cut is the landowners, overlying landowners, and they get the amount of water that they want, that they need based on the state rights. It needs to go to the beneficial use. They cannot just waste the water, as you know, but it needs to go to the beneficial use, and they get the second cut. In this judgment, not all the public agencies are, not all the private producers are participating in the judgment. And this judgment is unique in that order because the other judgments, like the Chino or Los Angeles, they involve everybody in the basin. This judgment has left that open-ended when it comes to the local, to the private landowners. So when we are calculating what amount of water is remaining for the public agencies, we have to consider that the private producers are not just the private producers that are participating in the judgment, but all the private producers that are stakeholders in the valley. So they take the second cut, and I have included some of the producers that are not part of the judgment. And then the public agencies get the whatever is remaining in the basin, and if the safe yield is less than the amount that they are getting now, then they have to cut back. The same way that it happened at the beginning, the 10,000 acre feet overdraft was cut by the public agencies.
So I had another question. So what if a public agency contracts with a private pumper to purchase water? How does that work?
There are.
I know of a guy that's selling water to Lake Hemet. So I'm just wondering, how does that work?
That particular pumper that you are mentioning, that production at the time the judgment was put in place was accounted as the public agency's production. So that sale, it was not above and beyond Lake Hemet's allocation. So that was accounted for in their allocation. But there are mechanisms that a public agency can acquire the overlying landowner's rights when a development takes place. There are some mechanisms for that, and Mr. Muad and I, we have discussed that to some extent, because you do have some landowners that are selling to developers, and the development comes in, and then Eastern has to take over. So, yes, the judgment allows for some of those switching from the private owners to the public agencies.
And isn't that what happens in Chino Basin, where you've got a certain percentage of the water is appropriate for cities and some is for ag? And then when the ag goes to development, then that percentage now goes to whatever city or county or whatever entity in charge.
However, each water mass is unique in its way. In Chino, there is an industrial pool, there is an ag pool, and there is a city pool. Mm-hmm. So in their case, they actually have lumped all the agricultural production as in one bucket, and they transfer a percentage of that to the cities when the ag goes out. In this case, it's different. In this case, it is individual property, and which agency is going to serve that property. So it is different, but similar concept.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Thank you again for being here. Appreciate it, and we'll look forward to having that board item. With that, item 7, to receive and file various reports, I will make the motion to do so. Director Cronin, would you second that? Make it a roll call vote, please.
President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Cronin?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Passes 3-0, and Director Record and Director Armstrong absent. That will bring us to our calendar review. Good morning.
Good morning, President Pauley, members of the board. This morning I have one event for your consideration, and that is on Thursday, November 2nd. It's the Philip Williams Administration Building Dedication Ceremony, which is being hosted by Elsinore Valley Water District. If you're interested in attending, please let me know. And information with more details regarding this event is located within your packet.
Could you put that on my calendar,
Absolutely.
Please?
I will put you down.
Yeah, I'll go too.
All right. Turning to page 2 is the current listing of the Boardmaster calendar for the next 2 weeks. Please review the information and let me know if there are any updates or changes. Top of page 3 is the upcoming conference and events with participants. Starting tomorrow, October 5th, is the French Valley Recycled Water Pipeline Phase 2 project completion ceremony. On October 12th is the San Jacinto State of the City. October 18th is Supervisor Chuck Washington's State of the District Address. October 19th is the City of Menifee 15th Birthday and State of the City Address. November 12th through November 14th are the D.C. legislative meetings. November 5th through November 7th is the Water Reuse California Conference. And November 28th through November 30th is the Association of California Water Agencies Aqua Fall Conference and Expo. Continuing on page 3 is the list of upcoming board meetings. I do want to point out that the October 18th meeting has a start time of 10 a.m. Other than that, all other meetings through the month of December are on schedule. Listed on page 4 are the board committee and interagency meetings, also all on schedule. Towards the bottom of page 4, we have the district office holiday schedule. Please note that EMWD offices will be closed on Friday, November 10th, in observance of Veterans Day, Thursday, November 23rd, and Friday, November 24th, in observance of Thanksgiving, and Friday, December 25th, Christmas Day. Are there any questions or comments regarding the calendar review? Okay. All right. Hearing none, that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That will go on to director's attendance reports. We will start with Director Corona.
Okay. Had the review of the upcoming LAFCO committee meeting with Nick, and it was a good meeting to prepare for the LAFCO meeting. We also went to the State of the District meeting, which was fabulous. Joe did a great job, and staff did a great job. All the presentations and the videos were all great, just nothing but really good comments on it. I had a great time. Then there was the actual LAFCO meeting. It was pretty routine. There was an interesting item, which was Moreno Valley item. There was a CSA that existed prior to the formation of the city that was paying a tax that was supposed to go towards parks. And the city was formed, but part of the CSA was outside of the city. People in the outside CSA were continuing to pay the tax, but the money was going to the city, but then they were getting no parks. So there was a discussion about dissolution. In the end, the regional parks for the county, they kind of want to keep it in place so that maybe they can build a regional park or something like that. Supervisor Jeffries was really interested. He was saying, well, you know, they're paying for nothing. They're not getting anything for it. And so there was the hope on the part of the regional parks department that they could get something built. So we voted in favor of not dissolution. And so that was the big item there. There also was a mention by Gary Thompson that San Diego County Water Authority was going to file a lawsuit against the Registrar of Voters in San Diego for allowing the vote on the deannexation or the annexation to Eastern. So that was, I don't know if you've heard anything more on that, Nick.
But, nothing more specifically on that. We'll see what the County Board of Three does. But the members, Ballpark and Rainbow, they're still in settlement negotiations, so we'll see what comes of that.
Yeah. And then yesterday we had our EMWD Rancho Ad Hoc Committee, and that was very informative. Joe did another great job. It's a very exciting meeting. That's all I got.
All right. Appreciate that. I did attend the MWD Western Joint Committee meeting. A lot of good information, a lot of good discussion of some of the things going on at MET currently, and Joe and Craig always do a good job with that. Had the pleasure of attending the Murrieta Wildomar Chamber Awards, and a lot of good time spent with some of the local council people. Roxanne represented us there and is so well-liked in that community. She's really an asset to the district. I will just echo on the State of the County event. In my 17 years here, I think that was the best public event we have ever done, and it was just spectacular. I so look forward to October 16th, 2025. The pressure is on Joe Mawad to top
He's counting the days.
And I have a feeling that Mr. Mawad will top this with our 75th year anniversary. I had a good meeting with the Deputy General Manager, who always brings me up to speed on some of our finance and administration stuff, which I enjoy participating at the district. WRCOG, we got an update on the industrial PACE programs, including some of the water retrofits that are being done under the industrial PACE program. And that is my report. Director Slauson.
Yes, I attended the joint meeting with Western and along with Director Pauley, President Pauley, and we discussed items of mutual interest and attended a portion, the beginning of the State of the District event, and it was well attended, and I got to run into a number of people and say hi to people I hadn't seen in a while, and then I had to go to a chamber board meeting. So that's it.
Was good. Director's comments, future agenda items. Anybody have anything for that? All right. I will ask legal counsel if there's a need for closed session today.
Yes, Mr. Chair, as identified on the agenda as item 10A.
Very good. With that, we will switch over to closed session.
We're ready.
All right. Can I ask legal counsel to give a report out of closed session, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The board met in closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8 to discuss conference with real property negotiators concerning APN 30337003. A report was given to the board. No formal action was taken. That concludes my closed session report.
Very good. With that, we will stand adjourned until October 18th. Thank you.